Good afternoon, everyone. Hello. Welcome to this talk by Claire Giordano, who leads the Postgres open source efforts at Microsoft.
Thank you. Yes. Can everybody hear me okay in the back? Show of hands. Okay. If for some reason I start talking like this and you can't hear me anymore, somebody wave to me and get my attention, okay? Because I flew all the way here and I want to make sure I get a good recording. Thank you for joining me for lunch and to be part of this talk about building the next generation of open source contributors. My name obviously is Claire Giordano. And just so you know where I'm coming from and what my background is, my very first open source project was actually at Sun Microsystems, where I worked in the kernel group, and I led the effort to open source the Solaris operating system, which was quite a wild ride. Maybe, thank you. And I had no idea what open source, well, how much fun and how rewarding it would be and how it would change the course of my career. A few years later, more than 10 years later, I ended up joining a small San Francisco-based startup called Citus Data that had an open source extension to Postgres. So that's when I first got involved in Postgres. And then a few years after that, Microsoft acquired Citus Data. And so over the last 7 years since I joined Microsoft, we've been building a team of open source contributors to the Postgres upstream project. And that's where I spend the bulk of my time right now, leading our community efforts. And this talk represents my views, not my employer's, but based on my work on the upstream open source project. So that's some context. And the talk is about a challenge that I suspect some of you, maybe even many of you, also share, and it might also keep you awake at night, which is how do you build that next generation of open source contributors if you're successful enough to be around long enough that people are going to start to move on or step back or retire? Like, how do you make sure you've got people ready to take the baton on that project? Now, why are we talking about Postgres? So first of all, show of hands, how many of you have worked with Postgres as a user or a developer? Okay, I love it. That's awesome. How many of you love Postgres? Another show of hands? Okay, that's also equally awesome. For the camera, for the recording, please know there are a lot of people with their hands raised in the audience. So Postgres is omnipresent in the world, and we're talking about it because for those who are unfamiliar, it's a relational database, it's open source, it's reliable, it's robust, used by millions of people. We just heard a talk a few minutes ago about QGIS. Well, Postgres is the database that sits underneath PostGIS, and so there's a lot of geospatial applications that run on top of it. Some of the cloud database services out there that are based on Postgres are some of the fastest growing managed services in the world, and it's just got an amazing community. And I think that's the part. I heard the phrase once, come for the code and stay for the community. So it's not special though in terms of needing to make sure that the next generation is there to take the baton. So the reason we're talking about Postgres today is because our successes and our failures and our experiments might be useful to people in other open source projects. And so what we're going to do is talk about what's working as well as where we're still struggling as a project. So this isn't going to be a rah-rah cheerleader, here's everything that's wonderful. We're going to look at both sides of the coins. I also want to clarify that when I talk about contributors to Postgres, there are definitely parts of this talk where I'm talking about hackers. I'm talking about people who contribute to the code. But there are other parts of the talk that are about people who contribute to the project in other ways, and I'm a good example of that. I have never committed or contributed a single lick of code to this project, even though I started off my life as a developer many, 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 many years ago. But I do contribute to the project in other ways, and so we'll talk about both types of people because the project has a lot of different aspects to it. Okay, so why am I giving this talk? I host this monthly podcast called Talking Postgres. I'm curious, how many of you have heard of it? by any chance? Okay, so not as many hands this time, but I'm hoping to see more the next time I'm up here. In the podcast, I talk to people who work with Postgres about why they do what they do and sometimes how they got there, what are their origin stories. And so the guests have been a mix of committers. Committer is the Postgres term for maintainers on other open source projects. We've also had a lot of major contributors on the show, users of Postgres, some of the cloud operators who manage those managed services. Anyway, it's been a big mix. And in those conversations, I started wondering about, you know, the next generation and how do we build it. So before we dive into looking at the future, just a couple of quick things about the past and the present. First of all, this year is the 30th birthday for the Postgres Open Source Project. So I'm not going to ask you all to start singing the happy birthday song, because that would be a little bit awkward, especially because I can't hold a tune. But it's a pretty big milestone. The technology itself has been around for 40 years now, but the open source project began 30 years ago. And over that 30-year time period, as you can see in this chart, the number of maintainers, what we call committers on the project, has grown from 5 to 31 today. Now, these are just the maintainers. Obviously, there's a lot more people who contribute to the project beyond that, which we'll look at in just a minute. If we look at present day, the most recent release of Postgres came out last September, Postgres 18. And we ship an annual major release every year in that same time frame. It's very predictable. And in this release, there were over 3,000 commits. There were almost 4,000 files changed, over 400,000 lines of code changed, and 279 individual code or doc authors who contributed at least one commit to the release. So that gives you a feel for the scope of the project. And of those 279 code authors, 83 of them contributed their first time change, which is kind of cool. I mean, that's what, 30%? Now, some of those are probably drive-by contributors who just did this once, and then they're going to go back to wherever they came from. But still, gives you a sense of scope. Now, when I tried to calculate how many people worked on the project and contributed in some way, code or beyond code, in 2025, the entire calendar year, the conclusion was more than 367, but probably a lot more than 367. So that's kind of the floor. We had the 279 who contributed code, and then I looked at the people who were recognized as significant contributors and major contributors. And those people who were recognized are recognized for multiple years of work, for sustained contribution to the project. But beyond that, there are people who are, you could think of them as rising significant contributors. They haven't yet been recognized, but they are doing a lot, and they probably did a lot last year. So more than 367. All right, and I just also want to let you know that this project is very global. Now, this map is only a map of the 31 maintainers to the project, and it lets you know the countries that they live in. But it actually mirrors what we see with the rest of the project. There are people that contribute from so many countries, so many different places. It really is a global project. And if you look in the bottom right-hand corner, you'll see that two of the maintainers actually live in New Zealand. So I sometimes joke that New Zealand has more Postgres committers per capita than any other country in the world. And yeah, it's global. And when I think about who the contributors are, obviously we have drive-by contributors, I said that already. I believe there are hobbyists. I don't know any, I have never met any, but I'm sure they exist. And in fact, when I was talking the other day to a room full of committers, many of them told me that they started off as hobbyists. That's kind of how they got their start. There are people, too, who maybe work as consultants, but they spend 10% of their time or 20% of their time contributing to the project, and then other people get paid to work on Postgres full-time. All right, and then quick view of a funnel. We don't actually track a funnel for our contributors. It doesn't exist. I had to kind of create this and put it together. And maybe we should, and maybe we should measure it to figure out like where are the holes in our contributor funnel. But obviously people first get interested. They're drawn to the success of the project. Maybe they want to scratch an itch. Maybe they have a specific problem that needs to be fixed, or maybe they're just curious to learn more or bored for some reason. And then they get activated. They start lurking on the mailing list. Maybe they start mailing and contributing, start doing a couple of patch reviews. There are sometimes, just last week in Prague, there was an intro to Postgres hacking workshop. I can see one of the instructors in the room holding a camera right now. And it's pretty awesome that people teach these workshops, and that's one way that people start to get engaged. Maybe they go and attend office hours with some of the committers and maintainers as well. And then they start advancing through the system, and eventually, if they're in it for the long game, they'll probably end up getting promoted to be a major contributor or a committer. They'll start mentoring other people, giving lots of conference talks, advocating, and more. So that's just a quick feel for the funnel that we need to care about as we start to think about building the next generation of contributors. How many of you have read the book Anna Karenina? Okay, a few hands. I love this book. I took a Russian literature class in college, and this was one of the required reading. And it starts off with the line, "Happy families are all alike. Every unhappy family is unhappy in its own way." And for some reason, that made me think actually about James Bottomley's talk about the selfish contributor explained that he's given at FOSDEM in the past. And I don't think this is one of the takeaways I was supposed to take away from that talk, but it did make me realize that, you know, people contribute to open source projects for all sorts of different reasons. And the reasons are not the same, and they're not even altruistic. They might be selfish. I mean, at the end of the day, those of us who get paid to work on Postgres, like, we need to eat. We need to put our kids through college, right? It's good to get paid to work on an open source project. So every contributor might be selfish in their own way. And one of the things on that awesome podcast that I mentioned earlier that I've learned is that all the origin stories are different. So